Tourists are trapped on Bali as the island's volcano is poised to explode.
At least 100,000 people are being evacuated. Hundreds of flights have already been cancelled.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Marie Keyworth, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Normally, the Indonesian island of Bali is considered the ultimate tropical paradise. But for tourists and locals alike, it's a much less attractive place to be at the moment. It's because the island's Mount Agung volcano is in imminent danger of a full-scale eruption. Earlier, I spoke to the BBC's Karishma Vaswani, who's watching events from Singapore.
Hundreds of flights have already been cancelled, with airlines ranging from Jetstar to Malaysian Airlines to Qantas calling off their planned flights to and from the island because of these explosive eruptions. There are fears that there is an imminent, much larger eruption possibly happening over the next couple of days. Officials in Indonesia have warned about that, but it's very difficult to say exactly when that might happen or how big of an eruption that could be. Still, they're taking no chances. We've been told that at least 100,000 people are being evacuated from the actual volcano site. And as you can imagine, thousands of tourists left stranded on the island.
How serious is this for Bali? Because it is an island that really does depend on those tourists.
Absolutely. Bali regularly brings in tourist numbers that rival most of Indonesia's, frankly. When you think of tourism in Indonesia, Bali's the first place that pops up. And according to government statistics, out of every five tourists in Indonesia, two of them generally go to Bali. So this is a real problem for Bali. Having said that, the Indonesian authorities are very keen to say that they don't think this is going to be a long-term issue. Bali does sit, as does the rest of Indonesia, on the Pacific Ring of Fire. It's no stranger to natural disasters.
Karishma Vaswani. Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are mixed. Shanghai's main index closed down 54 points, or 1.3%. In London, the FTSE is up a fraction by 0.3%. And Bitcoin, it's surged past the $9,000 mark. The cryptocurrency is up more than 800% this year. Farmers in the US will be used to using the well-known weed killer Roundup. But Monsanto's controversial herbicide isn't quite so welcome everywhere. EU officials are meeting today to decide whether the main ingredient, glyphosate, should be banned in Europe. The BBC's environment correspondent Matt McGrath reports.
The European Union's problem with glyphosate is that it's torn between what it might be the toxic effects of the pesticide itself or the toxic effects of making a decision to ban it. It's a real problem. They've been wrestling with this for 2 years and they're no closer to a decision. The big issues here are whether or not this chemical is possibly carcinogenic for humans. At the same time, it's massively relied upon by farmers and people who have lawns all across Europe, all across the world. The public are desperately split on this as well. They've had 1.3 million signatures asking this to be banned across Europe. Over half of them came from Germany. Yet a German company called Bayer is trying to buy Monsanto, the company that makes this product. So there's a real European confusion about this. And they've been trying for 18 months to reach a decision as to whether or not to renew the license for this product.
Matt McGrath. Immigration is a political hot potato for governments around the world, not least in Japan, which has a reputation for being lukewarm at best about foreigners of any kind. But should that change for the sake of the economy? The BBC's Ivana Davidovich reports.
On the busy, noisy streets of Tokyo, you certainly do not get the feeling that the country is running out of people. But the statistics tell a different story. A quarter of the population is over 65 and many millions are in their 80s. One solution to the problem could be immigration. But Japan is struggling with this concept. Toshihiro Menju, from a pro-immigration think tank here in Tokyo, believes that his government has the priorities all wrong.
The government policy is try to motivate women to work more and elderly to work more. But that's not enough. Because of a negative image about immigrants, the government is very hesitant to discuss this issue.
Whether he has liked it or not, Prime Minister Abe has been forced to address the country's dwindling labour supply. Schemes like technical trainee have been set up, allowing companies in need of manual workers to bring them from abroad on three-year contracts. Vietnamese and Chinese nationals top the list of recruits. But this programme has been widely criticised for alleged abuses by employers and lack of oversight by the authorities. I met young Vietnamese worker Lei in the office of a Japanese labour union where he sought help.
I came to Japan in July 2015. I had problems with my company. If I would make a small mistake in my work, they would force me to kneel down and say sorry to them. It happens to many foreign workers in Japan.
On the other side of town, I catch up with the video blogger Yuta Aoki, who believes that people in his country are simply not exposed enough to different cultures.
So I think Japan is more xenophobic than racist. And what I mean by xenophobia is basically fear of unknown. Many Japanese people haven't been abroad or they haven't dealt with non-Japanese nationals.
Demographic situation in Japan is a ticking bomb. Some argue that Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's Japan First policies are not addressing this problem properly. In Tokyo, I'm the BBC's Ivana Davidovich for Marketplace.
And China's rich are turning to a new gourmet delicacy from the West, Spain's Iberico ham. But Chinese demand for the cured pork is pushing up prices for Spaniards at home. They could be paying as much as 10% more for their Christmas ham this year. And while the prices are soaring, for now at least, we aren't expecting the pigs themselves to fly. In London, I'm Marie Keyworth with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.